There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Welcome in to another Pitt Panther Rants, another Sports Rants podcast. Watt Harris, your host. Happy Thursday, folks. College football starts tonight as we got some games happening. In fact, let's look at the 1AA slate here for tonight. Elon opens against Wake Forest, or maybe Wake Forest opens against Elon, whatever. Kent State plays UCF. UCF a minus 35.5 for that game. I'm sure that's a pretty generous cover. It's a pretty generous spread. I would take Kent State. Rhode Island, Georgia play. St. Francis and Western Michigan. NC State and UConn. A lot of people picking UConn this one. The cover, but I don't know. It's Brandon Armstrong is reunited with his offensive coordinator from Virginia, so I'm not so sure about that. I would probably take NC State to cover that game. But again, it's also at UConn as well, so that would be one reason for it. Florida faces off against Utah. And that's at Utah. Utah is 14th ranked. Nebraska plays Minnesota. I'm not going to list all of these. This is ridiculous. Tulsa, UAB, and Arizona State also play, but it's all cupcakes. The only notable game is probably Nebraska and Minnesota. The Matt Rhule era kicks off. Okay, enough of that. I had a phone call just as soon as you guys rang in, and it was for something, some sort of bill collecting, whatever. Screw it. That's one thing when you podcast with your phone. You're going to get phone calls from people you don't even know. Or you don't expect. So, NC State plays UConn, and I don't know, I'm sure NC State probably wins this one. A lot of people are taking UConn with a plus 14, but I'm not sure. You know, it depends on how NC State, you know, offense is with Brennan Armstrong. I mean, if he can pick up where he left off with his offensive coordinator, then I don't know. Some people are taking the UConn plus 7 on that. I don't know. Same thing with Nebraska and Minnesota. A lot of people are laying Nebraska because of Matt Rhule. Matt Rhule isn't going to turn them, you know, to winners overnight. Just so much going on there. But as we look at the rest of the ACC, so tonight, Wake Forest plays Elon. That should be an easy win. UConn and NC State. NC State should win it. And Friday, we got Miami playing Miami of Ohio. How about that one? So Miami, Florida versus Miami of Ohio. The Fighting Ben Roethlisbergers versus, I don't know, the Testaverdes, I guess. If we're thinking about notable quarterbacks that come out of Miami, I mean, that would be, well, there's Jim Kelly, right? Bernie Kosar. Those are two other ones I could mention. Maybe the Fighting Jim Kellys, the Fighting Bernie Kosars. Let's see, Jim Kelly was from Pittsburgh. He wanted to go to Penn State. But they want him a linebacker. Miami offered to, you know, for him to play quarterback, and that's when he went to South Florida. I don't know. I mean, if I'm a Western PA kid and I get an offer from Miami to go, you know, go play in Florida and live in Florida, I'm probably going to go to Florida. Well, Bernie Kosar. Let's look him up real quick. He went to Miami as well. Yep. Was recruited by Schellenberger. Where did he was from Youngstown of all, I mean, which one of these Western, you know, a lot of these Rust Belt guys going to Florida. Oh, well. So, yeah, maybe the fighting Jim Kellys or the fighting Kosars versus the fighting Roethlisbergers. I guess we can go with that. Let's see. We also have a Louisville-Georgia Tech game. That's at 6:30 as well. Well, I'm going off Central Time Zones, guys. So this is probably 7:30, 7 o'clock. So, or maybe it's not. I don't know. Let's see. Louisville. Let's take a look here. What time did it actually kick off? 7:30 Eastern time. So it's obvious. My browser's obviously reflecting Central, you know, Central Zone. So Miami, Ohio at 7 and 7:30 Louisville, Georgia Tech. So we got Friday night lights for the ACC. Then Saturday we got Virginia and Tennessee. The Vols are -28 favorites. They should probably whip Virginia. Northern Illinois and Boston College. BC should win that one, but NIU is a very tough MAC opponent. Wofford and Pittsburgh play. Pitt should win that one. We'll get into that here in a moment. Colgate and Syracuse. The Q should win that one. North Carolina at -2.5 over South Carolina. I don't know about this one. I will say this is a huge game for North Carolina because they're supposedly contenders for the ACC this year with Drake May. So, I'm not sure what South Carolina has going for them, but North Carolina really can't afford to lose this game. I'm going with South Carolina. Old Dominion, Virginia Tech. Old Dominion is not an easy opponent. They always give people a hard time. They're basically like, you lump them in with a South Florida and whoever. Well, South Florida back in the day was, you know, was the big pain in the ass. But Old Dominion is one of those G5 pain in the ass teams to play against. And Hokies are -16, which is kind of generous because Tech wasn't really that good last year. I think I like Tech to win, but I think Old Dominion covers. And we got two games. We got a game on Sunday, which is LSU and Florida State. It's a Sunday night game. LSU won. No, Florida State won last year, but I'm not sure about, you know, that was early in the season. LSU's -2.5 favorite. I like LSU in this game. I think they win. Brian Kelly is going to have those guys prepared. Duke and Clemson. Clemson a -13. They should win that one. Over-under is 55.5. I think that goes over. Now, is there any really notable games for top 25? I mean, there's Colorado and TCU. There's Ohio State and Indiana. They kick off at 2:30 on CBS. Nothing really exciting there. No, not really. Well, I mean, there's West Virginia and Penn State. Drew Aller makes his debut. Supposedly, he's a Heisman contender already. Has he ever taken a snap yet? Let me know if. I mean, I don't know. Penn State's a -20.5. I think if Drew Aller comes out cooking, I think they'll cover that game. Yeah, I think they will. And there's, you know, that's really about it for, you know, for a lot of notable games. I mean, I'm sure there's a bunch more, but I'm not gonna dive into the total schedule of this. I'm just picking notable games out. I mean, it's just, you know, yep. And you know, as far as the West Virginia and Penn State game has gone, it's been a topic of discussion. So has the topic of the Pitt-Penn State rivalry, which Pat Narduzzi mentioned that they've asked James Franklin. You know, he said you'd have to ask James Franklin because they've reached out and nothing has happened. You know, and I know this is going to be a very unpopular opinion of mine. It's been, but my suggestion to Pat Narduzzi and Pitt is to stop asking Penn State to play the game. Penn State does not want to play it. And if they do, they want it on their terms. So they want their two home games or whatever. Pitt's lucky if they're going to get a home game. Penn State is not going to do one for one. That whole four-game series we have is pretty much an anomaly because when that series was done, Tim Curley was the AD at Penn State. And Joe was pretty much at the end of his career. I mean, this series was done. This four-game series is one of where it was two home, two away. It was done right before the shit hit the fan at Penn State. You know, eventually Curley would be removed and Paterno. But that four-game series remained. And if I'm looking from Pitt's perspective, I understand. If you've got open dates, and even some of my followers have mentioned this as well. If you have open dates, you do owe it as a football coach and athletic department of Pitt to continually ask Penn State to play the game. I get it. It's a great game for the state. Generates lots of buzz, lots of water cooler talk. I totally get that. But so much has changed with TV money, college football playoff, that, you know, it's just, you know, rivalries are just taking the back seat. Unless the rivalries are within the conference, they're pretty much taking the back seat. I mean, a good bit of them are. I mean, there's some teams in different conferences that still have play rivalry games, and I think we just need to accept that our rivalry game is the backyard brawl, and we should go with that. We should move on with that and continue to move on with it because those guys actually hate us and want to play us. They want to beat us, and we should hate them and want to beat them as well. The only way Pitt is going to be able to ever generate any type of buzz for the rivalry game for Penn State is if Pitt starts winning conference titles, and then, well, which they have, but they also need to qualify for the playoff. Pitt needs to get into the playoff, win playoff games. Once Pitt starts elevating themselves like that, then maybe Penn State will want to play them. Because we talk about that 2016 win, that game where we won 42-39. And that win supposedly kept Penn State out of the college football playoff. That's pretty much good enough reason why Penn State does not want to schedule the game anymore. That gives them pretty much enough ammo not to schedule it. Because look what happened. I mean, as being realistically as Pitt fans, we didn't give much of a case to reschedule the rivalry. We lost our next three games to them, and we couldn't even score more than 14 points against them. I mean, not to mention our home game, which was, you know, in the pouring rain, they dropped 50-plus on us. You know, we basically got embarrassed on our own home field, and not to mention they took it over. You know, Heinz Field was reduced to We Are Penn State chants. I mean, we got humiliated on our own home field. You know, I mean, after Pitt lost, I mean, when Pitt won their first game, After they lost their next two to Penn State, it really wouldn't matter. I know going 2-2 would have been nice, but it wasn't going to give Penn State enough ammo to redo the rivalry. So in the meantime, Pitt needs to focus on the actual teams they're playing and the actual rivalries they do have. And who knows, maybe one day it'll come around, but I'm 44 years old. This whole Pitt-Penn State rivalry thing has been talked about for so many years. I mean, when I was like in seventh grade, they just ended the rivalry. You know, Penn State would have joined the Big Ten. Then, as you all know, it resumed in 1997 just for four games, and after that, Joe wanted, more home games. And the talk of playing the rivalry has just been, it's pretty much been talked about every year. Let's see, I joined the sports message boards in like 2001, and I was like in college then. I was like 21 years old. I'm 44. The Pitt-Penn State rivalry gets talked about every single year for the last 20-something years, and I'm 44 now. I remember Walt Harris and Steve Peterson lobbying for the game. That was over 20 years ago. Dave Wannstedt tried to get Joe to do it. Wasn't happening. And now we're on the Pat Narduzzi. But I do think a lot of people, I'm just walking around here, I think that four-game series from 2016 to 2019 gave a lot of people hope that maybe they could schedule something. You know, maybe there was going to be some sort of a thing. Or maybe since Joe was at the end of his career, that maybe things could be worked out. Some sort of schedule could be worked out for the rivalry to resume. But I think a lot of that died probably when, the Sandusky stuff happened. Curley's gone. All those people were gone after that. Because I think Joe was towards the end of his career there, and I think that's what I felt like. That was the big reason why Penn State did this. They wanted to resume it, and it just now Penn State doesn't have to resume it if they don't want to. I mean, that's just how it is. And we didn't give them much of a case either. I mean, when you lose your next three and you can't score more than 14 points against them, Penn State's got better things to do with their Sundays. But let's finally move on to the Pitt game, because I can go on and on about this. I mean, I understand I understand Pitt's reasoning for doing it. If you have open dates, you always ask if you can resume it and get some games in. I also see the Penn State side of it as well. It just is what it is. It's not gonna, I think that whole 4 years was, it just came out of nowhere. Maybe it'll happen again. Who knows? Meantime, we got the brawl. And we got Wofford coming up this weekend. Pitt plays Wofford, coached by Sean Watson, of all people. He was interim coach last year. They finished 3-3. And somehow he got the interim tag removed and became the head coach, which I found kind of odd, because he, if I looked at their schedule, he was their offensive coordinator. And offensively, they weren't really that great in those first few games. And the head coach gets fired, and all of a sudden, Sean is the head coach, and they go 3-3. I mean, I have no idea but what to expect from that, but maybe they change offensive coordinators, because, Sean went, maybe Watson, because they had to move the head coach, they had to put somebody in the OC place. Maybe they finally got somebody who knew what they were doing. And the crazy thing is that Sean's resume is pretty nice. I mean, he's been some places. I mean, he will always be known for Teddy Bridgewater, but I always feel like maybe that was more Teddy Bridgewater, because sometimes quarterbacks make offensive coordinators look good. Like they know what they're doing. I don't know. But yeah, he's bounced around, and obviously he was at Pitt, and it just didn't work out. I mean, the offense was pretty... I mean, we could run the ball, we just couldn't throw it. But if you look at, I mean, if you look at that team, I mean, we had Kenny. But if we look at the, what was Sean Watson's final year? Yeah, Sean Watson's final year was the ACC team. And the team that won the Coastal. They finished 7-7 that year. They had a 6-2 conference record. They had 2 1,000-yard rushers, but passing-wise, let's see. Their leading pass catcher was Maurice French and Rafael Arua Lopez. That was it. So, you want to wonder, there's also Taysir Mack, who had 25 catches, 557. It kind of makes you wonder what happened there. Because if we go to the next year, well, 2018, let's see, let's go back to 2018. Kenny passed for, Kenny even passed for 1,000 yards that year. The next year, he passed for, with Whipple as the coach, he passed for over 3,000 yards, 13 TDs, 9 picks, so 13-9. Maurice French had 96 catches, Taysir Mack 63. There was a bunch of guys who had more than 10 catches. And then 2020, that was a shortened season. Kid did fairly decent as well. We had Jordan Aston, DJ Turner. And then 2021 was Kenny's breakout year. I don't know. I don't think you can totally blame Sean Watson for what happened, for how bad, for the passing game. In the year where they won the ACC Coastal, I mean, they really didn't have anybody that can, they didn't have anybody on the receiving end. I mean, Maurice French was all right, but he, you know. And they had Arroyo Lopez. I mean, they really didn't have anybody. They had some young talent that just didn't develop yet. So I just don't think, you know, I don't think you can totally blame him. I mean, you can. It does fall on him. But at the same time, I mean, the talent just wasn't there either. But, you know, Mr. Watson should have had some input into that as well. But as far as the game goes, I'm expecting some things. Well, it's, you know, the big thing is to get Mr. Big Philly Jerkovic, get him going, get the passing game going, get them in rhythm. I'm hoping we do that. And of course, the running game we shouldn't have to do much with, and I like to see some, you know. Hopefully see some good things out of the defense as well. Hopefully there's no glowing areas of concern. But the key thing here is to win and get the hell out and move on to next week. Anyways, I'm not going to go into more depth in the Wofford. It's pretty cut, plain and simple. Anyways, have a good weekend, guys. Out of Pitt.